1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 is our text for this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Apostle Paul writes these words. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a hymn. It's not in our small books here, but a hymn, perhaps you're familiar with it. It's called Holy Bible, Book Divine. And words from a couple of verses say, Holy Bible, Book Divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am, mine to chide me when I rove, mine to show a Savior's love, mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward. This book, the Holy Bible, this book divine, is a book like no other book, for it truly is a book that God has given to men, that men might be made right with God. In this life, if our lives are not securely anchored in the truth of God's Word, not as a book of religion or a great book, not as a wonderful book or a book that teaches about a wonderful man or has great moral truths in it, but truly the only book of truth and the book from whence all truth comes. If it is not that book, it is an anchor to our lives for the decisions that we make, for the thoughts that we think, for that which would govern and direct the things that we do, then our lives truly are adrift, so much so that we're not always even conscious that our lives are adrift. Must constantly come back to this book and its truth. This statement by the Apostle Paul actually comes in a list of several things that he writes to the people at the Church of Thessalonica. It's just one item out of several, and it's just several pertinent statements that are made one after another. And he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Three men came to my mind to begin with in thinking on this text. Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel, and David, the second king of Israel, and Jonathan, Saul's son. In the book 1 Samuel, chapter 15, and verse 26, we read the words of Samuel the prophet, when he spoke to Saul. Saul had been sent on a mission. He had been told to go and to wipe out the Amalekites. But he didn't. He did not do what the Lord had told him to do. He had rejected the commandment of God. And so Samuel said to Saul, "For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hast rejected thee from being king over Israel. The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine." Saul had been made king at the will of God. And it was the will of God, our text, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The will of God for Saul was that he be the king, the first king of the people of Israel. Leslie, you think you can find somebody to help us? Saul was to be the first king of Israel. But he rejected the word of the Lord. He did not obey the commandment of God, and God rent the kingdom from him and gave it unto a neighbor of his. The will of God was no longer for Saul to be the king of Israel. Saul was not content. with the will of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, Samuel, this same prophet, took the horn of oil. And he anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The kingdom of God was rent by the will of God from Saul's hand, and the kingdom of God was given unto David. He was anointed to be king over Israel by Samuel. Saul wasn't ready to give up the kingdom, and he was still king. David was anointed king, but he wasn't king at all. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul cast the javelin. Saul cast the javelin, not at a Philistine, not at an enemy of Israel, but Saul cast javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Saul knew very well that David was to take his place as king of Israel. And he sought to murder him for it. Saul said to Jonathan, for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Jonathan, listen to me. Jonathan, Saul's son, is his father giving the son counsel. He's telling him, look, son, as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore, now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Jonathan's answer was not, of course, I should be king in your stead. Jonathan's answer was for the truth, for righteousness, he says. Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul's answer was the javelin again. Jonathan escaped from his father's javelin. Jonathan's place was, the will of God for me is that David is to be king in your stead. Saul says, deliver him to me so you can be king. And Jonathan says, no. Why should he die? What has he done wrong? And of course, he'd done nothing wrong. So we read in 1 Samuel 23, and David abode with 600 men in the wilderness, in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. Saul was not going to hear what the prophet had to say. He was a very frustrated man. But he was not going to listen to the word of God. It did not have bearing on his life. He was going to undo God's word. And any who would try to undo God's word will find themselves fools and frustrated. Saul was a man who was a frustrated man. He sought for David every day, but God delivered him out of his hand. The time came when Saul entered into a cave. He didn't know that David was in that cave. His men were in that cave. And Saul comes into the cave, a little season of rest. David and his men are backed up against the sides of the cave, as quiet as they can be. David's men whispering into David's ear, kill him. Now's your chance. God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now is your opportunity to take David, to take Saul's life. David says, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing. The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. David said, this is the will of God for me, to live in the caves and to be hounded by this unrighteous man's unrighteous actions. This is the will of God for me at this time. Somewhere I'll be on the throne. Sometime I'll be on the throne. I've been anointed. God has said it's going to come to pass. For this time, this is the will of God for me. Saul said, it's not the will of God. I'm not giving up this kingdom. I'm going after the one that God has given it to. David said, no, it's not my place. The kingdom will be mine in time. The occasion came again. Saul was asleep. His soldiers all round about him, some 3,000 chosen men of Israel, round about Saul. David and Abishai made their way down to the camp, and they all slept soundly. David comes right up alongside Saul, and there he is with his spear by his head. His bolster of water right there. And Abishai says to David, now's your opportunity. The Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. Just once with a spear, we'll drive the spear and pin him to the ground. Not exactly the words that are in the scriptures. Put him to death right now. David says, no. As the Lord liveth. And here's David. David says, this is the will of God for me. Christ Jesus. David says, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch mine hand against the Lord's anointed. It doesn't matter that he wants my life. It doesn't matter that he's hounding me about the kingdom, that I'm living in the wilderness, and for a time he lived amongst the Philistines to escape from Saul. It doesn't matter what he's doing to me. I'll not stretch forth my hand against him. This is not the will of God for me. 1 Samuel chapter 23, we come back to Jonathan. Jonathan said to David, Jonathan came to strengthen his hand, and he said, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also my father knoweth. I'm going to take a second place in this kingdom to you. I'm going to be the lesser man. As it happened, Jonathan died alongside his father in battle against the Philistines. But Jonathan understood his place. The will of God is that you are going to become king of Israel and you are going to rule this land. And Jonathan said, this is the will of God for me. It wasn't Jonathan's fault that his father had done these things. Jonathan was not the one who had wronged David. The kingdom was not going to be Jonathan's either. Jonathan lost out, you might say, because of his father's rebellion. But Jonathan submitted to the will of God and said, God has chosen another. He has chosen David, and it's not me, and I am submitting to the will of God. This is the will of God for me. Think of Saul, what a sad man it is. He was such a frustrated man. We think of David, how he's exalted to the heights that he was exalted to. And Jonathan and David, these two men who said, this is the will of God. And I must abide for this time for the will of God. And in time, David became king over Israel. For 37 years he ruled over. 33 years he ruled over both the northern and southern portions of Israel. For 7 years, for a little time, he ruled over just Judah and then the combined kingdoms. David ruled. And he had a great kingdom for a season where all those nations round about him were subject and made tribute to David. This is the will of God for me. At least for this time. And I say for this time, because oftentimes our lives change. My wife is playing the song that has the words in it. She's playing before the service the song that has the words in it, change and decay all around I see. Our lives are made up with a great deal of change. Oftentimes, people live in the same house for many years. Some people work the same job for 40 or 50 years. They retire from the same company. They go on into retirement. And it looks like there's a lot of the same thing in their lives. But life changes and surprises come and things we didn't expect come our way. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the you is personal. We can say you as in all of God's people. But all of God's people are made up of individuals, you. And the matter that you face, David and Saul and Jonathan had their matters. You have yours. You know, Joseph had 10 brothers. And they were all complicit. Reuben was going to return his brother to his father. But in the end, Reuben kept the secret with the rest of the brothers. Now, they sold him off as a slave and they lied to their father. 10 men kept this a secret for decades. Amazing ability to keep a secret. The police look into matters all the time. Two or three people have a very difficult time telling the same story in the same fashion without one of them spilling the lie. 10 of them kept the lie. Years and years. Joseph was a favored son. He had a coat of many colors. And his brothers, of all people, sold him to cousins. Perhaps a little distant cousins, but they're cousins. And those men took him to Egypt. Sold him as a slave. What a family, right? This was the will of God for a time for Joseph. And I say it was just for a time. He was in Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, he served faithfully there. He became ruler over Potiphar's house. And Potiphar only knew about the food that came in front of him at dinner time. This is all that he knew about because Joseph tended to everything. And it was the will of God that he served there for a time until Potiphar's wife lied. His brothers sell him. The woman lies about him. Joseph ends up in jail. A jail in Egypt in those days is not like jail downtown Greenville Detention Center. They keep the bugs out of the detention center down there. People go through and they spray them out of there. No such thing here in Egypt. Slave Potiphar's house is the will of God for a time. A slave sold into a dungeon for a time. Sent into a dungeon for a time. And so he serves faithfully there. Pretty soon he's over the prison house also. And tending to everybody that's in the prison house. But he's still in prison. Butler comes in, has a dream. Joseph tells him about his dream. You're going to go back, restored to your place with Pharaoh. Remember me when you get there. He understood he was here in the will of God, but he wasn't interested in staying. Remember me when you get before Pharaoh. Oh, man, maybe there's a chance I can get out now. Waiting, months, a couple years go by. Oh, the Pharaoh has a dream, and suddenly the butler remembers. Oh, I know this guy in jail. I remember that now. The will of God for a time. And we know the story with Joseph. Raised up to look after Egypt. And one of the greatest crises in the history of Egypt in the 7 years of famine that were to come to that land, 7 years of preparation and the 7 years of famine, and Joseph is ruler over Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh. And for a time, Joseph had to endure these things. This is the will of God for a time. Joseph said to his brother, after their father had died, he said to his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is today, to save much people alive. We don't know oftentimes why it is the Lord would have us to endure things that we endure. why it is that the will of God is what it is for the particular time, life in which we're living. But for Joseph, the time was to save much people alive. And he was put into a place and a position that he was much prepared for. He might rule over Egypt. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning Joseph. You and I take hold of this text and say, if the word of God is not that which governs our lives, we find ourselves much as Saul found himself, fighting against God, frustrated, discouraged, angry, out to murder David, out to murder Jonathan, calling his whole family and much of the nation of Israel to war against one of Israel's greatest heroes because of the envy that was in his own heart against David. A frustrated man, frustrated against the will of God. There are some women who long to bear children, and they never bear children. There are some circumstances we must say this is the will of God. I do not say it's a light matter. Obviously, I can't bear a child. I do not know quite what it is like to have a desire to bear children. Though I understand from being around enough women to know it's a natural, an inborn desire. But for some, it is not the will of God. Some men work at a job. It is not their first interest. And for their efforts to even try to find some other work to work at, it's not ungodly work or work that is contrary to what God would have them to do. It's honest labor, but sometimes it's not the first love or their first interest, and they'd much rather be working at something else. And for all of their efforts, the opportunities do not seem to come to pass. Some men work a lifetime that way. Not necessarily frustrated or full of bitterness, but it can certainly enter in. This is the will of God for this time. As we see in Joseph's family, some families are splintered. Sin has entered in and readily bring bitterness, infidelity, dishonor, rebellion. So many families, this is such common experience. And for a time, it may well be. This is the will of God. Age brings changes. You cannot do what you used to do. Your eyes do not see so well. Your hands are not quite so nimble as what they were at one time. Knees are sore. You used to bounce upstairs two at a time. Didn't think a thing of it at the top and go back down and up again just for the fun of it. And knees don't do that quite so readily anymore. This is the will of God at this time. Without the contentment to know this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You find yourself very much like Saul, fighting against him, frustrated and irritable and discontent. Godliness, contentment is great gain. There are some things we have no power to change. And Joseph couldn't change from being a slave. He was enslaved. He couldn't change from being in prison. He was in prison. David couldn't make himself be on the throne. He could have taken matters in his own hands. He could have killed Saul on at least two occasions. He'd have been outside the will of God, taking matters into his own hands. So we need the will of God. We need to know the mind of God. We need to know the word of God. Read in John chapter 9. Text that I find quite curious in this context, in the context of this message tonight. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. And the Lord Jesus spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man. And he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came again seeing. Now, in the story of Saul and Jonathan, we see Jonathan's position is made difficult because of his father's sin. And as a prince of Israel, and a man who's seeking truth and righteousness and his father's ungodliness, is a grief to him. He loses out on the throne because of his father's wrong. And it's given to another. Well, this blind man wasn't blind for any reason of anybody else. It wasn't because of his parents, his mother, his father. It wasn't because of his brothers, as in Joseph's case, that did him so wrong, or Potiphar's wife that did him wrong and brought more misery upon Joseph. It wasn't because of what others had done to him that he found himself in a very uncomfortable situation, a blind man begging for his living. But he was in this place that the works of God should be manifest in him. Not everything that comes to our lives because of our sin or even because of somebody else's sin that happens to be close to us. Sometimes there are things that come into our life, and they are there simply that the works and the glory of God might be made manifest, that God would be glorified in us. And so it is with this blind man. He was born blind for this occasion, recorded for us in John chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus passed by and his disciples were with him, just for this specific time, that a man who had been born blind might be given sight. Has the world ever heard of such things, he says later in his testimony, that a man born blind might receive his sight? The works of God should be made manifest. And so he was born blind. There are things we face that the works of God may be made manifest. And we say, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. It may be just for a time. It may not be for a long time. It may be for a long time. We don't know how old he was. His parents say he was of age. Whatever of age was in that era, probably somewhere at least around 20 years old. Well, that's roughly the world over how men consider of age. Well, at least that old. He was blind all that time. But he was blind for that time, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And what you endure may well be only that the works of God be made manifest in you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. It's not a fatalism, but it's the care of the Father in heaven for his children. Godliness with contentment is great